You're listening to the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse at bellydancegeek.com. All right, hello everybody. I'm Nadira Jamal and welcome to episode 51 of the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse. If you have a product or an event you'd like to promote, you can reach an audience of over 1,500 geeky belly dancers by sponsoring the clubhouse right here on the show. And if you're interested, you can find details at bellydancegeek.com/sponsor. The clubhouse is a place where dancers can get together and geek out on all of those things that are hard to get in classes and on DVDs. If you want help with the what, things like moves and combinations and choreographies, there are a lot of resources out there. But if you want to get geeky about the why and the how, things like culture, musicality, business, costuming, makeup, ethics, for all those things, it can be a lot harder to find resources. So every month I interview a different guest expert on a different geeky topic, and we always have time for questions and answers so you can geek out too. So if you think that knowledge and creativity go together like chocolate and peanut butter, you are in the right place. Now, it occurs to me that I forgot to mute everybody who's not Mao, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. All right, and Mao, would you say hello so we know we can still hear you?
Sure. Hi, everybody. Hey. I'm Mao from Sparkly Belly.
Awesome. So my guest is Mao Murakami. She's the founder of Sparkly Belly, which is a really fantastic online belly dance costuming resource. When you're there, you can learn how to sew and DIY your own costumes, even if you're new to sewing. Mao turned her love of belly dance and costumes into one website with the goal to empower belly dancers with sewing and DIY skills and help them feel beautiful and confident on stage. What's belly dancing without sparkly costumes that celebrate your uniquely beautiful body? If you have costuming questions or want to bounce ideas, you can reach her at Mao, M-A-O, at sparklybelly.com. And you can visit her website to check out her free tutorials, which to date, there are 65 of them and counting, at sparklybelly.com. So welcome, Mao.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited. So today, Mao is going to talk about how you can make the most of the costumes that you already have. So there are a lot of different things that go into great belly dance costuming, but so often we think about buying a new costume or making a new costume from scratch, when often we have what we already need in our own closets, it just needs some help. So today we're going to talk about different ways that we can upgrade problematic costumes so they can become your new favorites. So before we jump into the topic, I always love to ask my guests about their origin story. Can you tell us about how you got started in belly dance?
Sure. So I started dancing when I was in high school, so that's many years ago. And since then, I was kind of trying different styles. I tried hip-hop, I tried flamenco, I did salsa. And then when I was in university, I saw an ad for a belly dance class on campus, and I thought it was so cool. I just joined right away. I didn't know what belly dancing was, but from the first class, I just loved it. I just fell in love with the movements. The movements felt right to me, and there was a good community going, which is very important to me. So that's how I got started in belly dance, and now I'm more into costuming, but belly dancing has become such a big part of my life.
And how did you get started in costuming?
Yeah, so that was probably 4 years, 3 to 4 years after I started belly dancing. My instructor suggested that I do a solo piece in one of her student recitals, and I was so excited, and I wanted a more proper costume. Up until then, I would just perform in whatever kind of given to me from my instructor, like a just yoga pants with coin hip scarf with maybe tank top or something like that. But for the solo performance, I wanted to be special. I wanted to look like a legit belly dancer. So I went online and basically searched for my options. And I quickly realized costumes don't come in many sizes. I'm very short, but I'm not skinny, so I can't just get a larger costume and expect it to fit me, or get a costume that's in my size and expect it to fit me. So I quickly realized, okay, this is not working, and I decided to give costume making a try. And at that time, I wasn't aware of many online resources. Now there are quite a few, but back then I wasn't aware, and I just kind of based my costume making on what I had heard from other dancers or my instructors, and it was quite a challenge. It was really frustrating. I wasn't sure what I was doing. In the end, I was happy with what I created, but when I look back now, it was really weak straps and just very weak in general. And I wouldn't wear it today, but from that point onward, it was really fun. I kind of started creating more and more, and just in 2014, I decided to share what I learned over the years online, which became sparklybelly.com. And now I really enjoy helping belly dancers around the world make their own costumes.
Wonderful. And I've seen pretty much all of your tutorials at this point
Oh,
and also taken
thanks.
several of your courses. And one thing that really impressed me was that you have a really solid grasp on your sewing skills. Did you sew growing up, or was that something that you learned separately?
Yeah, I learned basics in middle school. I went to a middle school in Japan, and there in home economics, sewing was a big portion of it. We made like pajamas and apron and things like that. So I had pretty good basics. But I didn't sew after that. I didn't have a sewing machine or anything. So yeah, I started making belly dance costumes. And when you have something you really want to create, you can learn skills faster. So I just picked up the sewing machine, and then I basically taught myself how to use that sewing machine, and yeah, just went from there.
Awesome. Well, let's jump right into our main topic. Before we get into thinking about how to upgrade costumes, maybe we should take a step back. So, why are costumes important? What do they do for us as a dancer?
Yeah, I think costumes do a lot of things. For one thing, it really shows your style. So, are you doing Rakshaki? Are you doing fusion? Are you doing tribal style? And even within Rakshaki, if you want to showcase your shimmy in a particular piece, you might want to make sure your shimmy shows in your costume with maybe beaded fringe and things like that. Or if you want to do floor work, you might want to. A little simpler around the hips so it's not in your way of your floor work, or maybe you might want to play with your skirt. So there are a lot of things you can do with your costumes, and it kind of sets the mood and the theme for your piece. And but I think most importantly, costumes make you look like a legit belly dancer. I think for belly dancing, costuming is so important. If you wear streetwear, you don't really look like a belly dancer. And I've heard many times professional dancers saying that they go perform at a wedding or something, and they wanted to do something folky, so they put on ballet dress, and then but people expected to see more of a very stereotypical two-piece costume. So I think that there is that what people expect to see from belly dancers. And as a dancer, you're presenting yourself as a belly dancer. You're catering to a different audience, and they have all different kinds of expectations. So costuming has a big part in communicating that message as a dancer, I think.
All right. And so, if folks have a costume that's not quite working for them, what are some of the reasons why that might be?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, because even talking about right fit, it can mean different things for different people. But since I started Sparkly Belly, I've heard really two major costuming challenges, which I keep on hearing from people. The first is that right fit. So whether it's I'm too short, or I'm too big, and I'm conscious about my arms or belly or legs, and somehow it kind of a lot of people word it in a way that it's their fault, which is not. But the right fit or the costume is not fitting is one of major costume challenges that I hear often. Really, the worst is when you're on stage and all you can think of is, oh no, my skirt is rising up or my belt is moving to the side. It's really annoying. And the second issue that I hear often is I'm not happy with my handmade costumes because they look homemade or they look amateurish or they look cheap. And it's really frustrating when a costume looks kind of cheap or something is missing, but you don't know what. So I think these are major challenges that a lot of people have. And what do you think, Nadira?
I think those are most of them. I also feel like a piece of cheap is sometimes unbalanced. And we'll look at an example a little bit later. But, right after I started reading your blog, I got really inspired to I had an idea for a costume that I never had time to make, but I found a really basic just fringe set that I was able to doctor up into to look more like my vision. But when I tried on that base, one of the big problems was that it had big empty patches on it and it was covered. Yeah. Maybe I'll fast forward directly there so we can see the original. There we go. So the original just had some really big empty patches and they were full of, just that kind of, even sequin base. But especially on the body, it looked very empty. And I feel like that's one of the things that you see a lot in cheaper costumes like this, which, it had great bones, it had good structure and good fringe. But also sometimes in handmade costumes, people will sometimes leave large empty patches there. So I feel like balance sometimes.
Yeah, totally. And I think you did such a good job by adding appliques at the top. And because they were placed in a kind of asymmetrical manner, it looks more expensive. Like it looks like, you really intentionally placed them there. And yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Thank you. And, if I haven't already, I need to plug, I learned the techniques on to make those evil eye appliques from one of your applique tutorials, which is one of the free ones on your blog. So the whole workshop series that you offer are really awesome, and I highly recommend those. But if you're kind of in the, I don't know if I want to make a costume space, just start with some of the free tutorials. You'll be amazed what you can add. All right.
Thanks.
So why don't I step back, and we'll get into some of the previous slides. Great. So, when we think about some ways to upgrade costumes, what are some of the ways that we can do that ourselves? What are some of the techniques that can help us do that?
Yeah. So, thanks for preparing the slides. They look great. So, I'm basically going to go through the slides. I'm thinking in this call, I'm just going to talk an overview of how to make each one, and I've actually put together a whole list of all these ideas and links to the free tutorials on my site, and you'll be able to get the list from sparklybelly.com/Nadira.
Awesome.
And there you can just get a list, and then there'll be all the links, and you can watch the video tutorials and whatnot. But in this call, I'll just show you how you can use them, and then maybe you can brainstorm what you want to do.
Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, let's get started with magic straps. I love magic straps. They're super easy to make. It's basically just girl grain ribbon wrapped with fabric, like matching fabric. And I like to use girl grain ribbon as a base for straps. I use that all the time for shoulder straps or adding these additional straps like that. And really what it is just a piece of strap wrapped in matching fabric. You can decorate it also. And if you have like a gaping cup problem, if your bra is not fitting you quite well, these straps are a great solution for that. So basically, you attach an end of the strap to the top of a bra cup. There we go. And pull that strap up diagonally. You can pull it to the same side, or you can pull it to across your chest. And what it does is it kind of redistributes the weight of your breath and how the fabric is distributed over your skin, so it closes the gap at the top of the cup. And the bonus is this adds additional design details, so you don't have to stop at one. You can make two straps, you can make it symmetrical, asymmetrical, you can do all kinds of fun stuff, and it makes your costume look more interesting. And the coverage that it offers is very light, so it's not gonna throw off your costume, the balance of your costume. So I really like magic straps for that.
Can I also add a couple notes? I am
Yeah.
when I saw this on your blog, I was so thrilled. I haven't actually finished the costume I'm adapting yet, but I wear a triple or quadruple D bra cup, and
Yep.
in a lot of cases, what I've found is that particularly when I'm making a costume or having one made for me, I have to, in order to get enough coverage on the bra, I often have to buy a size bigger, and that can sit away from my body a little bit, and I typically have to take darts in the cup, which is kind of a re-engineering project. But I found if I use one of these across the front straps, so any of the styles that we've shown, it sits flat against my body without having to add that. And it's also true, especially because, like a lot of women, I wear a slightly different cup size on one side versus the other. And so, if you have a smaller side, you can use that same technique to essentially make your bra fit better. So besides the fact that they're really cute, right? Like they're all just adorable looks. I really love them every time I see somebody, with this kind of interesting strap placement. It's just really, really practical.
Yeah, I think so too. And yeah, hence I call it magic straps because it's like magic. It's so simple, but it does so much to your fitting of your bra.
Awesome. So then the next technique that we talked about when we were brainstorming for this was adding appliques. And we did a little preview of this idea, but do you want to talk more about the concept rather than my application?
Sure. So appliques is really an easy way. I think it's a fun and easy DIY for beginners. And you can make appliques in different ways, but here I have the paisley applique tutorial. There we go. That's the one. So this one, I basically trace the shape on a piece of felt. And for this, you can use pretty much any type of felt you might find at Michael's or any craft stores. And then you basically do beading right onto the felt. And then when you're done, just cut around the beads. Don't snip off the stitches, but just cut very close to the beads, and you can simply apply them to your costumes. And I've seen people who are new to costuming making appliques, and they really turn out great as long as you spend a good chunk of time to it. So if you go to my paisley applique tutorial, there should be links to relevant beading technique tutorials as well. And there's also another kind of appliques I like to make, which is called grapevine appliques. And they're kind of Russian designer inspired appliques. And it's basically a tube of fabric, and you insert a piece of wire into it. So you can basically create any shape you want. And it's really fascinating. It's pretty easy to make, but it really adds so much to your costume design. So I highly recommend this one as well.
And if I can add my own plug, so the Paisley technique tutorial, that was actually the one that was my inspiration for the Evil Eye appliques that I added on this costume here. And besides being a really gorgeous applique, I mean, you could make this exactly as shown in another color scheme or in this color scheme and get a really professional result. But what I really loved was how easy you made that, right? I was able to go through that tutorial and then say, okay, well, this is the motif I want to make. How am I going to do that? And I didn't even use all the techniques that you linked to, right? But that's what gave me kind of the courage to jump in and do that because, you know, I sewed in high school. I used to make all my own clothes. I could make, you know, lined wool, this and that. But, you know, as an adult, and especially as somebody running a business, I always found that I didn't really have enough time to complete a whole costume. And so for me, this idea of, oh, well, I can just make some appliques and take something simpler and make it more special, you know, was really what let me dip my toe into costuming again. And so if, you know, you feel like you can't handle costuming or like you're too busy, it's a really great way to get started. And it's really manageable. You can really add a lot of style.
Yeah, that's true. And I think what you did really well is you've created really clean lines. Like there's an evil eye, and then you frame that motif with something white or silver.
You know, I don't have any close-ups. I'm sorry. So what I did was I did flat sequin work in three colors. So they're in two colors. So there's a turquoise iris around the eye, and then a royal blue one, and then around the edges I have rhinestone chain, similar to the one that you used here. So that gives it a little bit more bling and gives it an edging around the eye.
Yeah, exactly. And that edging really creates that clean line, and I really like that. I think that really makes those appliques pop on your costume. So that was a really nice touch, I think.
I learned it from your tutorial.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
Awesome. Now, while we're talking about appliques, you mentioned Russian designers with this grapevine thing. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about some of the styles that you've seen coming out? I know you've done a lot of tutorials around that.
Yeah, I really, really love Russian designers' creations. They're just amazing. This grapevine applique is one. The thing is, a lot of things I see, I don't find ready-made tutorials for, so I basically kind of do my own version of it. So even this grapevine appliques, I haven't really seen a like ones made by Russian designers. So if I actually look at it, it might look a bit different. But another thing I keep on seeing is what I call swirly designs. And basically, it's kind of a I wish I had a picture to show, but it's kind of really swirly. It might be a belt that has kind of curly. It's kind of like a grapevine applique, but it's more elaborate, and it might be a bit thicker, and you have more freedom to create different shapes like flower shapes or curly shapes, and then you can sew on big rhinestones and rhinestone chain and glue on rhinestones and things like that. So I do have a course on my take on swirly belt. Yes, I call it swirly belt and appliques premium course. And also Russian designers use a really elaborate skirt design. So they would use a material called horsehair braid, or in some parts of the world, it's called crinoline. And what it is it's really kind of a mesh kind of material, and it's a bit stiff, and it gives the edge of the skirt more wavy effect. And this material is used in Western costume, Western clothing too, like especially formal dresses and whatnot. But usually, it's hidden inside of the garment. But how Russian designers use is they actually show it, and it kind of creates transparent, nice, wavy effect, and it really looks gorgeous. That technique I did cover in another one of my course called Aurora Convertible Skirt. And yeah, I think those are ones that I really like at the moment of Russian designers.
Excellent. Shall we talk sleeves?
Yes. So sleeves are what I usually recommend when people want to hide their arms, but they don't want to add too much volume. And these ones are, sorry, these ones were actually inspired by Princess Jasmine, the Disney princess. It's kind of flowy and it just sits on the upper part of your arm. And basically what it is just piece of lightweight fabric like chiffon and cut on a bias, and then just make it into a tube and then gather the ends, which create the nice gathering at the end. And then you can basically add them to your costume. It's again another easy DIY. You can make it match your skirt and that will create a nice kind of a whole package. And it offers light coverage for your arms.
I know I've seen, and I can't think of what movie it was, but I think Samia Gamal wore something like this in one of her movies.
Cool.
So it has a really romantic kind of, you know, golden age look to it
that
I just love.
Yeah, exactly. I love those.
All right.
Okay, what do I have next? Wristbands. Yeah. So to me, creating matching accessories is very important. If you feel like you put on a bra, you put on a skirt, and something is missing. Like I feel I'm kind of bare. There's a good chance that if you add a bit of fabric to your arms, it really balances out the whole look. And to do that, creating matching wristbands or armbands or gauntlets, those are really helpful. And this wristband was initially inspired by Bella costume. And my version though, but if you go to this tutorial, you can download the pattern and whatnot. And it's really simple. You just trace the pattern and then sew around the edge. So it does involve a little bit of sewing, but it's a good project for beginners. And turn it inside out and put some little hooks to it. And then you can just embellish them the way you like. You can make it matching for both hands, or you can just wear it on one hand and make kind of an edgy look. So you can do a lot with these armbands and wristbands.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really second your suggestion for when the costume doesn't look quite tied together or when it looks bare, adding something to the arms. I always find that when I see a dancer with nothing at all on her arms, it just doesn't quite have that complete ensemble look. And so even, you know, just adding some jewelry can make a difference, but I especially love it when it matches the costume. And one thing that I found, and, you know, one of the pieces of advice that I got when I first started performing on a regular basis was my teacher said, always make sure that you have a neutral bra and belt set with some skirts that you can mix and match. I know that, you know, these days, full costumes where it's a single ensemble that you wear exactly the same way every time is much more common. But in those days, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, we're talking 18 years, 17 years. But, you know, in those days, most of the gigging dancers, you know, would need to have different looks because especially in the restaurants, if you had to do two sets, they'd expect you to change your costume. And so, you know, she always suggested have a nice neutral bedlam, you know, gold, silver, or red if it mix and matches with other colors. But what she always said was make sure that you have something that matches your skirt if you're going to mix and match. So you should have armlets the same color as your skirt if you're going to be pairing it with a gold bedlam, for example. Because once you put your veil down, if you have one color bra and belt and then your skirt is the only thing that's that color, even if it's just picking up jewelry. So let's say you have a green skirt on and you have emerald earrings, then it just ties everything together nicely. And so I really feel like things like this wristband or the Princess Jasmine sleeves can really make your mix and match look a lot more intentional.
That's true. And that's a really good advice for troops too, like student troops. Like it's really hard for everybody to get everything. So when everybody has neutral color bedla, and then have a skirt and some matching accessories, I think that'll make the whole look more professional.
All right. Was there anything else that you wanted to say about arm looks before we move on?
I think that's it. And yeah, I'm excited about the next topic. So the next topic is kind of adding something more fun to your circle skirt or any skirt for that matter. I love skirts. I really love belly dance skirts, and I love skirts that make drama. And this curly lettuce hem is a technique that's used for different dance skirts. But basically, all there is fishing wire. You can get fishing wire from home hardware stores, I believe. I just picked up this stool a few years ago, and it's still lasting. And basically, what you do is take the hem of a circle skirt, and then as you finish the hem, you roll in fishing wire to it, and that wire stays inside and creates this curly lettuce, curly wavy look at the edge of the skirt. And it really looks cool when you just do it for one layer skirt or two layer skirts. And you can also use that technique for what I call perky ruffles, which I believe is next slide. There we go. So this is a skirt, mermaid skirt pattern that's included in my workshop. And all I did is I basically create ruffles out of flounce. And flounce is basically a piece of fabric cut in circular shape, and that creates beautiful ruffles. And to make it even, to give it more body, you can sew in fishing wire to the edge of the ruffles, which creates more defined shape. And then what I did was just sandwich that piece of flounce between the skirt, the main stretch fabric, and the chiffon insert. And that really creates, I think it really takes your skirt to another level. I think it makes it look more gorgeous. There's more volume. You can play with the skirt hem, and it just creates nice drama and makes it feminine. What do you think?
I think it looks gorgeous. And you know what I remember the most from your curly hem tutorial is that you can
Yeah.
do it without a serger.
Yeah, exactly. You
That
really
never occurred to
don't
me.
need you really don't need a serger for making most belly dance costumes. And that's, a lot of people shy away from even, investing in a sewing machine. And I totally get it. It took me a long time before I decided to buy a sewing machine for myself. But you really need a basic sewing machine. My first sewing machine was probably around $80 Canadian, so it's like what, $70 US. And it served me really well. I made a lot of skirts with it. I made a lot of costumes with it. So yeah, you really don't need fancy tool to make belly dance costumes.
Nice. And if you're not sure, go borrow your mom's for a month.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked a little bit about some of the free tutorials and some of the workshops. And I understand that you've got another run of the Belly Dance Costume Workshop coming up. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, for sure. So this is a workshop I put my heart and soul into, and I actually developed this workshop in collaboration with a whole bunch of dancers around the world of different sewing skills and experiences, because I wanted this workshop to be as thorough as it can be. So this is basically an A to Z belly dance costume workshop. It's a very comprehensive workshop on creating perfectly fitting costumes for yourself. For me, making costumes fit you well is the most important thing. Even if you create a beautiful costume, or even if you try on a beautiful costume at a store, but if it doesn't fit you well, it just doesn't look right. It doesn't do justice to pay the whole amount of money, and it doesn't do justice for the design either. So In this workshop, it covers topics like how to handle dancewear fabrics, which are often tricky to handle if you don't know how to handle them, like chiffon, like satin, like spandex, that sort of thing. And also, it talks about how to make perfectly fitting bra. There's an easy test you can do to find the right bra base. There is a belt module where you'll be creating perfectly fitting pattern for yourself, which you can use over and over in the future. And there is this skirt tutorial. This skirt, I call it the goddess skirt. It's gorgeous with the chiffon inserts. You can when you twirl in this skirt, it's really, really gorgeous. It's so dramatic and beautiful. And you can add perky ruffles and whatnot. So this workshop will give you everything basically you need to know about making costumes for yourself. Oh, and it covers decoration, beading techniques and whatnot as well.
Right. And one thing I have worked with this workshop, and one thing I really want to plug is that you get into really good detail about all of the hand sewing and machine sewing techniques that you need to do these. So, like, this is not just, oh, yeah, by the way, you can slap this together. Like, there's a lot of detail. So, if you don't know what you're doing, or if, like me, it's been a really long time since you've made something by hand, like, you really can get into a lot. Like
Yeah,
it's
thanks.
not something that you have to do from scratch.
Yeah, thank you. It's really nice to hear. I was wondering what you thought of all this workshop.
I really enjoyed it. All right. So now there was one other question that I wanted to ask you about, and that's that, if you've looked over this upgrades list of ideas, maybe you've got some inspiration. How can you tell when a costume can be improved, or maybe it's time to let it go and move on to something else?
That's a very good question. I think I have two answers to that, one generic, one practical. The generic answer to me, if the costume doesn't spark joy, I would just let it go. I kind of learned this concept in a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo, and she is a cleaning up expert, and she talks about finding basically picking up a something like, let's say, a costume, and if it doesn't give you the joy or the spark, why should you keep it? You should surround yourself with things that give you joy every day. And I think it's so true. I live in such a small apartment and I can't keep a lot of things. And I just want to surround myself with things that spark joy. And of course, sometimes that means you upgrade a costume and then all of a sudden you fall in love with it again. Or you do all you can and then the costume still doesn't feel right to you. And I think it happens, things change, your preferences change. So that's kind of my generic answer. And my practical answer is if the bra cups are too small or if the skirt is way too short, those things are very hard to fix. There are ways to fix it, like if the bra cup is maybe, one cup too small, you might be able to adjust the straps and see. But like you said, Nadira, doing a surgery on bra cups is a big task, and you could lose a lot of beading work, and there's a lot of risk involved. So enlarging bra cups or lengthening your skirt is a bit of a more challenging tasks, I think. Yeah.
All right. And is there anything that you wanted to say about enhancements or upgrades before we move on to the questions and answers?
Well, I just want to say if anyone listening to this call is completely new to costume making, I'd really love to invite you to give it a try. It's really empowering and it's really I think as a dancer, in old times, these older ladies who contact me, they always tell me how they used to make costumes and how they used to get together and make costumes together and kind of good old days kind of story. And that's really nice. It really brings community together by knowing how to make costumes or just sharing ideas is really fun. And as a dancer too, you want to have a good relationship with your costumes. You don't want to just decide, okay, I'll wear this costume tomorrow. And then you put it on the next day and realize, oh no, this hook is too loose, or this skirt is too long, or this decoration always catches my veil. So I don't want people to have fear towards sewing. I would really like to see more dancers pick up needle and thread.
Awesome. All right. So we had an idea for this call to take submissions from folks so that we could give them some input on their costumes, and absolutely nobody took us up on it. But while we were talking, Mal, I had a crazy idea, and you don't have to say yes, but I actually have a costume that I could use a little bit of input on. Would
Let's
you be
do
up for seeing that?
it.
All right. Now,
Yeah.
because I didn't prep this in advance, I don't actually have very good resources. But I'll see if I can find. So I'll tell you a little bit about the story of this. So what I did was I bought a dress on Amazon. I'll show you what it looks like. So this is a stretchy zebra print dress. Can everybody see that? And it was $40. All right. So it's a very nice stretchy bold zebra print with some big stone details and a big slit down the front. Now I did make some changes, and let me see if I can post this really quickly. So I did two things. One, let me see if I can save this to my notes and get that. One thing that I did was I took one of the bra bases that I typically use if I'm making a costume myself or getting it made. And what I did was I let this white part with the gems drop down to below the breast and exposed instead a silver sequin cover. So let's see if I can get that. Sending that to myself might be a little tricky. And then I also, along the seam here where the white part meets the zebra, at the bottom, I added 4-inch silver fringe for some movement and then a rhinestone chain along there to add some extra bling and to hide where the fringe was sewn in. Sorry, I'm gonna
So
send
there's a
myself
slit, right?
text.
There's a slit
There is a
underneath
slit right
that.
there.
Oh, okay.
And I also added a modesty panel because I don't usually prefer to show my legs. So I added some white mesh with sequin on it. And I've just texted myself a picture that I snapped in my studio here. So hopefully that'll arrive in a second. And I'm actually pretty happy with the front. I think the front is working for me. But what I could use some help on in particular is the back. So the back is just ordinary fabric and it's bootylicious. Like, I think so. My original plan, and I actually bought a second dress because it was so affordable. And my thought was, well, why don't I go ahead and take this white section, cut it out, and build myself the back of a belt to kind of drape across the butt. But one thing that I'm noticing is, I'm on the larger side, is that I really like the long curve of the body, right? This kind of zebra hugging your butt looks really nice on me. And so I'm a little bit worried about just adding this big horizontal and cutting off that beautiful silhouette. Do you have any suggestions on adding some detail or some movement to the back view?
Yeah, that's a very interesting topic. But I agree though. Like, are you on a tall side? Like, I've seen your pictures, but
So I'm 5'6", so I'm pretty average, but I also have a long torso, so my legs are not super long.
yeah, I mean, I totally agree that like I like to keep that nice horizontal sorry, vertical line. It's so nice and curvy, and from your description, like I can see adding, well, might add something like, is there a seam at the back center? It looks like there's a seam at the back center.
I think there is not. I think it's even.
There's even, huh? Like, what you could do is you could insert a big godet at the back. So it could be just white chiffon or something that matches your modesty panel, maybe same fabric, and make a big godet at the back that goes all the way to probably bottom the end of your hips. And so then it wouldn't distract that curvy lines of the vertical lines, but it would create a bit more movement when you twirl, the godet would show. So I might do something like that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I really like adding a big godet at the back because those godets don't really show, but when you turn, that's when it does its magic. You know, it flares up and it just looks gorgeous on pretty much any body shape or body type. So, yeah.
All right. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pause my screen share for just a second so I can get into my texts without showing you all my day job notices. But I think I got the pictures. So let me go ahead and drag those onto my desktop here. Okay, so I should be sharing again in a second. So this isn't the best picture in the world, but so the asymmetrical part, I covered it over with a sequin
Cool.
fabric, and you can't see it too clearly, but I also added, I covered the straps and added a rhinestone detail. Let me see if I can zoom in a little bit. So there's some
I
bling in, so it's
like
obviously
it.
not lingerie straps. And then you can see the detail here.
Pretty. I love.
Yeah. So, and it's, if anybody wants it, it's on Amazon and really, really cheap. So, and then I also have accessories and matching things.
Yeah, I really like that modesty panel. It looks so good.
Yep, and I didn't have to hem anything. I just cut out the half circle or the quarter circle, like you show in the godets tutorial in the workshop,
Yeah,
and just
yeah.
sewed it right in. I did
That's
it by hand in a hotel room.
awesome. That's
Thank you.
amazing. You know, what I love seeing is like I do my design. Sometimes, you know, I have my quirky preferences and, you know, things like that. And people take my tutorials and courses and they really, you know, it's like if somebody just had to push them in the right direction and they start creating something gorgeous, like amazing. And people really get into costume making like that too. So thanks for sharing that. It really makes my day when I see these costumes that were maybe inspired by my work. So thanks.
Thank you. And you know what I love is that, you know, when I took the costume workshop, I saw the picture of this specific costume and I thought, ooh, I want to make that in pink. And I still
Yeah.
haven't, but I've still used so many of the techniques that I've learned just to, you know, make things faster.
Yeah,
You know, what I
totally.
can fit into my life right now easily, and it was still really helpful.
That's awesome. Thank you.
My pleasure. And you know, why don't we go ahead and open it up to questions and answers from our listeners? So if there's
Sure.
anybody who's on the call who would like to ask a question or share their favorite thing that they learned, you can unmute yourself by pressing star star. Or if you're only listening on the webcast and you haven't connected to the audio, you can also use the little panel at right. There should be a little button that looks like a speech bubble with three dots. So we would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be first ever.
Yeah, it's a bit intimidating. But I'm not intimidating.
Not at all. All right. Well, while we're waiting for people to think about their questions, I have a couple more questions for you. So, one thing is that if people learn one thing from this call or one thing really sticks with them, what would you want that to be?
That's so hard.
It always is.
Yeah, like when I was thinking about this call, I just wanted it to be packed with information, which I always want to make my tutorials that way too, which is not always a good idea. But I think I want people to think, well, first think about making their own costumes, and if they do already, really think about better fit, balance, like you were saying earlier, and that costume is the first thing your audience see, right? So, I think more care and more love can go into your costuming. It's really one thing people will remember as well. So, really thinking about what you want to wear and what fabrics would help you achieve that vision, what decoration materials would complement that theme or the vision you're trying to create on stage. Thinking about these things, I think really take dancers to the next level and really create that memorable performance.
Excellent. And if people want to learn more from you, what are your favorite ways for them to do that?
Yeah, so definitely visit sparklybelly.com. That's where I have all the free tutorials, free course, Belly Dance Costume Making 101. It's a great free course for those who are just starting out. And also, of course, you can check out all my courses and a workshop there as well. And I'm everywhere, like on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. But if you have any questions or if you just want to bounce some ideas, definitely contact me by email at mal@sparklybelly.com, because that's where I can respond the fastest. And you can just feel free to share with me pictures, ideas, and I really read all my emails and I respond within 2 to 3 days. Yeah.
Awesome. And do we want to make one last call for questions? If anybody wants to ask, you can press star to unmute yourself. We would love to hear any questions you've got, any troubles you've been having, or just your favorite thing that you picked up from this call.
Hey.
Hi there.
Ladies. It's Rose from North Carolina.
Hey, how are you?
It's Rose.
You're
I'm doing
welcome.
great this evening. I really was excited about this talk today because I'm on building an ATS wardrobe. I've not been in that very long, and I just got an invitation to audition for the student troupe for my school, so really excited about that. Yeah, so one of the things I really want to take away from this is the magic straps that Mal was talking about. That sounds great, because like you, Nadira, I'm a triple to quadruple B, and finding cups that fit is just, it's hard sometimes.
That's
Yeah,
so
so
true.
thank you. I'm going to be looking into those straps a fair bit more.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, what's great about that straps, like you can just make it with any fabric. It doesn't have to stretch. It really doesn't have to do anything other than just it matches your costume, and you can, match it to your ATS costume. Yeah, I think you really find it useful, and it's super easy to make.
And if I
Thanks.
can pitch in again for a second, one thing I forgot to mention when I was talking about those straps for me is that when you have a larger bust, sometimes an average amount of cleavage looks like a lot. And everybody should go with what they're comfortable with and what they think is going to work for their audience. But sometimes I find that the best costume bases sometimes show more than I want. And even just adding the strap, you know, I'm not making the cup bigger, but sometimes that just that extra little bit of coverage makes it look a little bit more modest, even though you're still seeing a fair bit of skin. And that's made me a lot more comfortable with some of the things that I've wanted to wear.
Awesome, that's cool.
Which is not to cleavage shame anybody, right? If it's good for you and it's good for
No.
your audience, show it off. But you know, everybody has their own comfort level, and so for me, sometimes that's been really helpful.
Definitely, and that's how knowing how to make your own costumes or even fix it up really helps, because you can take what you buy from somewhere and then you can just tailor it to something that makes you feel comfortable. Because when you don't feel comfortable, you can't be your best on stage. So really costuming, making sure your costume feels good and feels right is important.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Rose.
No problem.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and mute Rose again. But if anybody else would like to pitch in with a question, a comment, their favorite takeaway, we would love to hear from you. All right. I think that might be it. Thank you so much, Mal.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, like I said earlier, I have a list with all the links to the tutorials I mentioned today at sparklybelly.com/Nadira. So yeah, feel free to go over there and get that list. And if you have any questions, just send me an email.
Awesome. Well, thank you everybody for coming. Let me tell you a little bit about what's going on in the belly dance geek world. This weekend, I'm going to be at the Austin Belly Dance Convention, obviously in Austin, Texas. I'm going to be teaching two sessions, one on dancing to full-length routines, including how to adapt that format for shorter shows. And my favorite topic these days, finger symbols, specifically how to make simple patterns more interesting. Online registration ends today, so if you're listening to this live or today, Tuesday, you can register at theabdc.com. So that's ABDC as in Austin Belly Dance Convention. But if you're listening to this later, but you can still make it, they are still selling tickets at the door, so that will be awesome. And thank you everybody for coming. This is the end of our call, but that doesn't mean that the conversation has to end. We've got a private Facebook group just for Clubhouse members. I'll include an invitation to that in our email when we send out the recording for this call. There is always a delay because this is a private group just for dancers, so I have to approve you before you can post. We'll also include a link to Mao's resources and a link to our feedback survey, which is where you can suggest different topics or speakers or other ways that I can improve the podcast. Our next call is not scheduled yet, but is with one of the ladies who called in today, Treasure Marshall, who is going to be talking about how to teach to children, which is a really different experience if you've been teaching adults. The last thing I want to say is that this is the come on in kind of clubhouse, not the no boys allowed kind. So if you know somebody who would like to join us on these calls, you can invite them to do so at bellydancegeek.com/clubhouse. And until next time, happy dancing! Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening. For more geektacular resources, check out bellydancegeek.com.